What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We will have Adam Vingan with us on the program at 7:30. He will help us dissect the Nashville Predators and their impending decisions that they've got coming up this offseason. We'll also have Willie Donick with us for the entire 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. We're going to get through kind of the minutia of all things Nashville Predators at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Joe, we spent a lot of time yesterday going down kind of the roadmap of the 30,000-foot view of the Predators and what they've got facing them now. And basically, the theme from yesterday was there's a big decision coming up with goaltending, and their roster is not a young one. Like, everybody keeps talking about how the Predators are a young team. They're really not when you take a look at their roster. So what is the best path forward if you're Barry Trotz, if you're Andrew Burnett, and you're trying to map out what this team is over the next few years here? What's the best path to take this offseason? I think regardless of how you view that, because I do think there are some Predators fans that I have seen that say, you know what, this team is pretty good. I think they're right there with Vancouver. And if you just add a couple pieces, maybe they're in contention next season, which, okay, maybe so. There are some that say, you know what, this team is good. It's not great. It doesn't have a chance to actually win a Stanley Cup. So I'm okay with further tinkering of the roster, tearing things down, even if it means you're not as good next year. Okay, that's fine too. Regardless of which way you view it, I think we would all agree on this one thing, whether it's adding to the current group or whether it's continuing to kind of turn the roster over and try to get younger, and maybe that means a step back in the short term. One thing they're going to have to find moving forward is a game-changing centerman, game-changing forward. Like, we all know that. And, you know, Jared was talking about that yesterday, said that's going to be basically the defining thing of Barry Trotz's tenure here, is can he find that franchise game-changing forward that they've really never been able to find before. Look, Philip Forsberg is a great player. He's not McDavid. He's not McKinnon. Like, he's not the elite of the elite, but he's a great player. They need somebody else to go along with him. I think we would all agree with that. Now, the question is, well, that's fine. We all agree with it. Now, how do you go about finding it? And that is the challenging part here as you look at the path forward for the Predators. We've got people already on the text line talking about offer sheets and trades for Marner or whoever else could be out there this offseason. If you're Barry Trotz and reviewing this right now, he knows in the back of his mind, he's made no secrets about it ever since he took the job. You have to find that number one centerman, that game-changing forward at some point. So, based on where the Predators are right now, Joe, how do you think Barry Trotz starts to go about trying to find that player? What do you think that process starts to look like? Because it's a very complicated process to get through.
Well, I suppose it's assessing every possible avenue of acquiring that player. If we're talking about, well, first of all, he started last year when he was trying to move up in the draft, right?
So correct.
That would be ideal to be able to draft and develop that guy, even though it takes some time, but
apparently tried pretty hard.
Yeah, you know. So if you're talking about someone who's established, some of the process, like, I mean, to me, some of the process is looking at Mitch Marner and looking at guys who could be available and asking yourself how they would fit and who they are and what's real and what's not and all that stuff. Marner is, I mean, the entire, like, hockey media in the city of Canada. What do you say they look at us as gods?
He was trying to say.
I don't think what he said was a real problem, but people went nuts about it.
It's just the context of the situation you're in. What he's trying to say is, you know, I love playing in Toronto. They love hockey here. They view us as that we're it in town. And just the way he said it came off as, really?
Said they view us as gods. And then people thought he was the dude in Almost Famous on the top of a house. I'm a golden god, Mitch Marner. It's like, that's not what he was saying. So that's actually a great example of if you're him.
Maybe get out of there.
Yeah, like I'm sure there is some appeal to playing in Toronto, but also there's probably some reason to get the hell out of there, right?
This
might be a nice example of that. But, you know, with this whole thing with, of course, I agree too. You got to get the big boy forward, all that stuff. You got to get more offense. You got to. I'm looking through the Edmonton Oilers' history with Connor McDavid. That's the thing. So we think we know the formula, and it's like, so how many playoff series have they won with Connor McDavid? Couple.
Not enough.
They've won, I guess they've won four playoff series in his career. Is that right? I think I'm looking at that correctly. So you keep that in mind. Well, Toronto, there's a great example. They got the forwards. They got studs. They've got four guys, and they're between them, they take up half of their cap. They take up 40-plus million of their, like, $83 million cap.
Yep.
And it's done what for them?
They have won one series.
You got to have that balance, too. You know, teams like Edmonton, for years, it was like, can you get any defenseman? Can you get any goaltending? You know, you got to have.
Now, this may be their year, but we'll see.
It may be. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. If and when it happens, and it's like, okay, well, it finally paid off. But it is a lot of years of that market complaining about other things because they certainly had what the Preds have never had.
Well, and I'll tell you this, too. Like, I said it may be their year. What if they lose to Vancouver? That place is going to go nuts. Like, it's going to be like, what do we have to change? Like, it's going to change quick if they lose this series.
It's like, what more do you want than those two guys when we're talking about forwards? And they've built a pretty good team around them.
This is the best thing they've had around them.
Yeah. You know, so it's always, but the Preds, this is what the Preds have lacked. So that's the focus. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be the focus. I'm just saying there is not one clear formula. It's definitely trending the way of you must have more offense. You must have more forwards. Goalie, a little bit de-emphasized, at least in terms of you must have
the elite of the elite,
the superstar, high-paid goalie. But there are different ways. And Vancouver would be, let's say Vancouver does beat Edmonton. What does that say? Well, I would still look at Vancouver and say we just saw them play the Preds several times, and they have centers.
They do.
And they got a guy like Lindholm who can be their number three center, and that's pretty good. They also have big, physical, rangy defensemen.
Yep.
And just an all-around strong roster. It's just so the Preds, just overall, they have to strengthen the roster. Obviously, that's the place you look. And to answer your question, I think it's you have to look at every possible scenario where you could pull off a trade. The free agent crop, Stamkos would be, you know, the main guy there, right? There's a few decent possibilities, but not franchise-changing possibilities at this point.
Not at this stage of their career, no. What do you think about Marner? So Marner, the last three seasons, had 97 points in 21-22, 99 points last season, and this year had 85 points, only played in 69 games, but had 85 points. 26 goals, 59 assists. He's right around every year, 30 goals, a little bit over 30 goals, and right around 62, 65, 69 assists, somewhere in that neighborhood. Obviously, all that's great. Like, the numbers are what they are. He's a really good player. And then I watch him in the playoffs, and it's like, man, I don't know. Like, it's probably unfair to put it all on him because it's not all on him. But there's battles in the corner that he just doesn't go into, coverages that he just doesn't step in front of. And that, I mean, there's obviously something broken with that team, and I'm not saying it's him. But I do look at their situation right now with the four guys in Toronto, and he's the one
that I think is going to have to be moved because nobody's taking Tavares. They just signed Nylander and Matthews last season, so they're not trading either one of those two.
Yep.
Like, Marner is going to be the one that gets moved. So if you're the Predators, is Marner the solution?
Maybe. And he's wearing the A. Does that matter? Wearing the A, does that mean anything?
It doesn't, no.
I don't know. I hear everything you're saying. And, I do think that, I mean, you've got O'Reilly and Shen who spent some serious time with all those guys and with that guy. And I think that I'd love to know the truth serum evaluation from those guys. You know? Is it – and look, I think that we could all agree there's some level of battle level grit sandpaper that's lacking.
You could see it.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. But the question is it fixable? And also, I mean, how much of that can you live with if the guy's going to get
exactly
100 points?
Well, I will say, I said this yesterday, he's not a centerman. I mean, he's played, I think, down the middle before. But, I mean, you go look at
– Hey, he's a right winger.
He's a right winger. That's what he is, which is fine. Like, I do wonder, like, if you put Marner with Forsberg, what would that do for Forsberg? Like, Forsberg's already a 48 goal scorer without him. Like, could he get to 50? Could he get to 55? Like, what could he do? Like, you start to wonder about that. But to me, it's not just about finding one of those forwards. It's like, who is it, right? Who is the forward that you find? And to your point, the path that everybody would prefer would be to just draft a guy and that he grows up and comes up through your system and you got your hands on him the whole time. And he's a number one centerman, and you go from there, and that's the building block of your team. It's very unlikely the Predators are going to find that with the 22nd overall pick in the draft this year. Not impossible, but very unlikely that you're going to find that. So there has to be kind of a different approach to trying to go out and find that if you're Barry Trotz. We'll take more of your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We'll have Adam Vingan coming up at 7:30. Looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
I keep putting those to my ear and then realizing, oh no, never mind.
Never mind.
Anyway.
The Predators in search of a big boy forward. A lot of your thoughts on the text line to get to. Let's start with Travis. So Travis says, what would it take to offer sheet some youngins in the league, and who would they be? I'm talking about direct impact dudes that the Preds could immediately rely on. This is the time of year when everybody starts to talk about offer sheet, and it just never happens. Like, it very rarely is there an offer sheet given out in the NHL. And even more rare is there an offer sheet handed out, and then the other team doesn't match.
It. Right.
So, David Poile hated offer sheets. The sense I got from Barry Trotz last year was he's not a huge fan of them either in terms of that being the way to go about doing business. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you're expecting the Predators to get involved in an offer sheet situation, I wouldn't hold your breath on that. Now, who are restricted free agents this year? I mean, Lucas Raymond from Detroit, a restricted free agent.
Very good player.
Quentin Byfield.
The Red Wings are going to match whatever.
Exactly.
They are not letting that guy go.
Quentin Byfield in L.A., a restricted free agent, but that's the same thing. L.A.'s not letting him go. For the most part, you'd be hard-pressed to find a situation where you can offer sheet somebody and the team is not going to match it. And if they don't match it, you start to wonder, okay, well, why are you not matching it? Like, what does that look like there? Or you're just insanely overpaying for somebody, which is also not a very good way to go about doing business. So I would be shocked if there was an offer sheet that the Predators did this offseason.
Yeah, I look, it's worth bringing up because it's you feel like it's time for a huge move. And what would be bigger than kind of stunning everyone and being able to go big on an offer sheet? But it's just not likely to happen. I think you have to look in terms of, obviously, the free agent crop, which we've talked about. There are some good players. There aren't great players. There are some formerly great players who are older, and then the possibility of the trade. I mean, the obvious trade possibility is Marner. Travis says hell no on that. So I understand the sentiment of hell no on Marner,
But I just – like, if I'm Barry Trotz, I'm picking every brain I can on that situation. Yeah. And if you want to talk hypothetical trade, like, what would Toronto is a team that you would think would be attracted to a UC Saros, potentially.
For sure, yeah.
But, I mean, Wall was very good in that series where he got hurt at the end.
He was.
So, I don't know. I don't know how they feel about that and if they – would want to, even though they would obviously get rid of a big number with Marner, you're still talking about having to sign up for at least into the sevens, close to eight, right, a
for
year
sure.
with Saros?
The Marner return is interesting because he's got 1 year left on his deal. I think it's a $10.9 million cap hit. So whoever trades for Marner is going to want to sign him to a deal. So you're talking about trading for a gigantic cap hit and then signing him to an extension after that. Not very many teams right now that can pull that off, number one. And number two, like, I think that hurts the leverage for Toronto. Like, Toronto, they got to do something. I mean, if you come back and you just run it back with these same four guys next year, your fan base is liable to riot in the street. Like, they've reached the point where, you know, it's kind of the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So, and we just kind of laid out the contract situation. Like, it has to be Marner. Like, Marner's going to have to be the guy that gets moved. So, everybody knows that. So, are you giving up a ton to go get Mitch Marner when everybody knows that you're going to have to do something with him this offseason? Like, I don't think it's going to cost a whole lot if you're a team out there. At least not as much as you would expect for somebody like Mitch Marner. I'll put it that way.
Okay, so how do you view, if you're the Preds, how do you view that as a cost?
I'm less concerned about the cost to go get him than I would be, do you really want to pay him that next contract?
Sure.
That's my concern with Marner. Like, it's not about the trade cost to go get him. Like, are you comfortable playing Mitch Marner? Are you comfortable handing him a 7-year deal where you're paying him $11.5 million per season? Like, is that something you're comfortable doing? I don't know. Like, he's a really good player. The numbers are what they are. He's a really good player. I don't know that I'd be willing to be paying him that much. That's just me.
It's a huge gamble. You're putting, you know, you're saying this is the answer.
Yeah.
Basically, with the core in place, add him, and this is the answer. This is going to be enough to push this team, because obviously now you're restricting yourself in other ways if you give out that kind of a deal.
Exactly.
Again, even that mean, to me, then that means Saros is elsewhere one way or the other.
For sure.
So you obviously are paying a lot less at goalie for a bit.
I got a texture that says, is it reasonable to think that Luke Evangelista could have the ceiling of being a reliable first-line option in the future, whether that's next season or a couple years down the road? I think Luke Evangelista is for sure going to be a top six player. I think he could be, when he reaches the height of his powers, whenever that is, 25, 26, 27, I think he can be close to a point per game guy. Do I think he can be an elite of the elite? Probably not. That's my kind of my read on him. I think he can be very, very good. I don't know that he can be, let's say, Forsberg. Can he be as good as Forsberg? I don't think so. Like, yeah. I think he's kind of a notch below Forsberg.
I would agree. Yeah, I think he's like a point. I guess I feel like he's probably going to be about a 60-point season type player, but a very good player.
I think
you need those players. Either way,
yeah.
What if he's in that range? Great. That's you.
Yeah,
you've got to have
nothing wrong with
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But he's not. Yeah, it's not. We're not talking superstar status, but it's. Believe me, if you can develop more guys like that, that's great. You got to have some depth and some scoring up and down your lineup too. And he's going to be high in the lineup.
Well, and here's another thing, and Evangelista is an interesting name too. Here's another thing to keep in mind on that front. If you want to go trade for a big name, and whether it's Marner or elsewhere, and Marner's probably not a good example. Let's say you want to go trade for somebody, and somebody becomes available this offseason that's got a little bit of term to him and is a really good player. Well, you know who that team's going to be asking for in return as a part of a package? Evangelista will be included in that. Like, they will be asking for him. So, is that something you're willing to do? I mean, depending on who the player is and what the package
tell
is,
me
sure.
The player,
tell me who the player is. But
I could see also Kemmel being a guy of interest for other teams, too. And, yeah, that's where you get into – it's not too frequent that you're developing these forwards that actually look like they could help you. Like, do you really want to give those guys up?
Exactly.
When they're under control and you're not paying much.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Adam Vingan. We'll get his thoughts on all this, the plan of attack for Barry Trotz and the Predators this offseason. Willie Donnett coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and say hello to our friend Adam Vingan. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning. So the Pred season has come to an end. We're going through kind of the plan of attack for the Predators this offseason if you're Barry Trotz. In the aftermath of this season, what they did in the second half, the 18-game point streak, the first round against Vancouver, and now that the season is over, how do you view where this Predators team is and where Barry Trotz and company go from here?
Yeah, it's a good question because this team exceeded my expectations for what I thought they would do this season, as I imagine they did for a lot of people. And it feels like Barry Trotz in his first season as GM pushed the necessary buttons, made a lot of the right moves. I think it's hard to argue with a lot of the moves that Barry Trotz made, but this season was certainly a success, but now it's time to continue to take a step forward because it's easy to look at where this team finished this season, which was a wild card team that lost in the first round, and think to yourself, how is this different than what we've seen from the Predators in recent years? And I can understand that point of view. And I the one thing that I've learned from Barry Trotz from watching him from afar and speaking to him a little bit is, you know, he's not going to be shy about making the necessary move, whether it's bold or people question it. If he feels it's right, he's going to do it. And when I think about what they need to do this offseason, and this is not going to come as a shock, you could probably play replays of our conversations over the past 9 years about Predators offseasons, is they need to find a true goal-scoring forward. And I know we've talked a lot about Mitch Marner, and we've mentioned the name Sam Reinhart. I think that whether it's through free agency or a trade, you know, the Predators' priority this offseason needs to be to find that guy, which is easier said than done. But what this series showed me was that for as well as the Predators played, they did not have enough players who could put the puck in the net when the situation arose. So I think that Barry Trotz, we saw how aggressive he was last offseason. I think about what he was trying to do with the draft to move into the top five and what he was willing to do there. I think he's going to have to be that aggressive again this offseason to find that score.
So we've been talking a lot, Adam, about one Mitch Marner. Your thoughts?
I'm not a Marner guy. He is immensely talented. You know, elite offensive skill to be sure. You know, great playmaker. You know, he can score goals, but that's not his forte. He's more of a setup man than a goal scorer, if you just look at his goals and assist totals. And there's value in that, to be sure. But there are a couple of things that worry me about Marner. One, he's about to enter the final season of his contract that pays him just south of $11 million a season. I was listening to a lot of Toronto radio yesterday because it's always fun to listen to Toronto radio after the Maple Leafs lose.
An annual tradition.
Elliot Freeman was saying on the Kipper and Bourne show on Sportsnet Radio that Marner's going to probably be around $12 million per season on his next contract. And for as talented as he is, he shrinks in the postseason. I think that this postseason is a perfect example. The Maple Leafs missed Austin Matthews for a few games. They missed William Nylander for a few games. But those players still had signature moments in that playoff series against the Bruins. Mitch Marner did not. And his goals, assists, and point totals per game across the board diminish in the postseason when compared to the regular season. And I just wonder if I was having this conversation with Jared the other day. From afar, Mitch Marner does not seem like the quote unquote serial winner that Barry Trotz seems to want to bring onto his team. And as Jared said to me, you can't have a team full of them, which is true. But there's just something about Marner from afar and reading about him and the issues that he's had, you know, sometimes in Toronto, you know, dealing with the pressure, that makes me wonder if he's got the right frame of mind for a Barry Trotz team. Now, if he came here, there would not be as much pressure. He's a Toronto native, you know, so there's that, not just playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but playing for your hometown team. A lot comes with that. I understand that. But there's just something about Marner that I think he's an immensely talented player, but I don't know if I would want him on my team, if that makes sense.
So what about in goal, Adam? Obviously there's a decision coming up at some point here for Barry Trotz, and you could sign Saros to an extension on July 1st. You don't have to. I mean, you could take it into the season if you wanted to, but at some point here in the not too distant future, you got to make a decision on UC Saros. If you are Barry Trotz today, which way are you leaning in terms of to extend UC Saros or to try to move him this offseason?
I think it might be time to try to move him. And I don't think it's because he's a bad player. He's a really good player. He's, in my opinion, a top five goalie in the NHL. And I saw this graphic that was going around social media the other day during Game 7 of Boston-Toronto because Ilya Samsonov was starting for the Maple Leafs, and it was like lowest win percentages in the past 40 years in the playoffs by goalies, minimum 40 games or minimum 20 games or something like that. And Saros was like third worst.
Yeah.
And that's an easy narrative, right? He hasn't won in the playoffs. And we've talked about the reasons why you can poke holes in that narrative. And he was excellent in Game 6, absolutely outstanding. But he did get outdueled by a third-string goalie. And I just think that when you look at how much you're probably going to have to pay UC Saros, and I think the number is going to start with an 8, because I think that's the market for a goalie of his caliber, the Connor Hellebuyck contract that starts this coming season is going to be, I think, the closest comparable to what UC Saros is going to get. And I just wonder if it's worth investing that much in a goaltender when you have a highly touted goaltender on an entry level contract, and you can save a lot of money and put towards getting that goal scoring forward. Now, you didn't ask me this, but when I'm thinking about guys that I would take a run at, I would think long and hard in taking a run at Steven Stamkos. I'm not sure if he's going to leave Tampa Bay. But at his age, I think he's 34.
Correct.
At his age, he could probably be had on like a 2 or 3 year deal. It would be a big cap hit. But like if the contract for Steven Stamkos was, I'm just throwing a number out here, 3 years, $22 million, or $7.25 million cap hit, something along the lines of that, I would strongly consider that. He's got two teammates here who can vouch for him. Not that Steven Stamkos needs to be vouched for, but Ryan McDonagh and Luke Shen won the Stanley Cup with him. He can still score. I did this math yesterday. In his final 23 regular season and playoff games of the season, so his last 18 regular season games and his 5 playoff games against Florida, he scored 21 goals. He had 21 goals in his final 23 games. The guy can still score. He's a proven leader. He fits that serial winner model that Barry Trotz likes. And his job is scoring goals, and we know he can score on the power play, right? Like it's a short term fix, but it's something I would strongly consider. And saving money by not paying UC Saros could go to signing a player like Steven Stamkos.
So my only argument against that would be, if you're going to move Saros, which I agree, I think that's the smarter route at this point. Without knowing who else they might pair with Askarov, aren't you signing up to kind of take a step back? I mean, isn't it realistic that, like, next year's team probably isn't a playoff team. That'd just be my guess. Maybe Askarov comes in and all of a sudden it's just like, oh my God, he's ready to rock. And you don't miss a beat. But if that's true, then a Stamkos, another one of these veterans, you know, with a big cap hit who comes in, those two moves don't seem to go together to me. But maybe I'm not thinking of it right. That's just how I kind of look at it, though. If you move from Soros, I feel like you have to be at least acknowledging to some extent a brief step back until Askarov can get completely up to speed and be a top shelf NHL starting goalie.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is certainly the risk in moving on from UC Soros, right? Like, you know, the thing that perhaps gives me a bit more comfort, so to speak, and that is this team still made the playoffs with UC Soros not being at his best. He did have a great end of the regular season, but overall, he did not have the type of regular season that we have seen. You know, this was not a situation like in 2021 where he carried that team into the playoffs in the short season. He is, I think, the only reason they made the playoffs in the 56 game season. The reason why they nearly made the playoffs last season when they probably shouldn't have is because of him. And this season he did play well in stretches, but I don't think he was that same caliber that he usually is during the regular season. So part of me wonders about that. And then it goes back to the same old thing, right? Like, goalies in the NHL, are they still the premium position that they once were? I mean, the easiest thing to do is look at what happened to Connor Hellebuck in the playoffs. The guy is going to win the Vezina Trophy. I'm certain of it. He was absolutely terrible in the series against Colorado. Even with that, you know, the reason why they have him and they signed him to that contract is to win series like that, and he was like the worst stretch of his career. So I guess the counter to that would be you might be taking a step back in goal if Askarov isn't ready, but you're hoping you're acquiring someone who can score more goals to mitigate the loss of UC Saras. So you don't need a goalie to steal you games to win. I guess that would be the counter argument to what you're asking, Joe.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating discussion, really fascinating stuff that they're going to have to figure out this offseason. Adam, last thing for you here. Are you concerned at all about the age of the Predators? You know, there's this narrative this year that they were a young team, and when you look at their playoff roster, they really weren't. They had Evangelista step up. I think they feel really good about Spencer Stastny moving forward. Are you concerned about the age of the Predators and the lack of young guys kind of ascending into a role with the NHL squad this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have watched this team for any length of time, you're certainly concerned about where is that young game-breaking forward. Like, Luke Evangelista, I thought, had a really solid season. I think he's going to have a bright future and a good NHL career. But the jury is still out on whether or not he's going to be the guy that we've been talking about the Predators needing for basically forever.
Yeah.
And that's what I would be concerned about, is I think the Predators have a lot of young players that can be contributors at the NHL level, but is Luke Evangelista, you know, going to develop into a 40 goal scorer, or is he going to settle into a 15 to 20 second or third line, you know, 15 to 20 goal second or third line player, you need those players. But, you know, the Predators' history suggests that they're not going to develop a player like that, just because, you know, that's just not what's been in their DNA. And that goes back to the question about, okay, should they have, quote unquote, should they have tanked? You know, should they have been bad on purpose to get a high draft pick? Well, there's a lot of risk in that. We're going to see tonight is the NHL draft lottery. We will see if the San Jose Sharks, who are the worst team in the league, end up with the number one draft pick. It may not happen. And that draft pick may not be the caliber of Connor Bedard. You know, there's a lot of risk in that too. And look, Barry Trotz tried to move up to the top of the draft last year. He wasn't able to do it. So that gives me confidence that he might be willing to try it again. But yeah, I just think that, you know, the idea that this is a young team is misguided, because I agree with you, Robbie. The average age is much higher than I think people realize when you consider how many veterans were in the lineup. But the Predators are not going to be able to find, or it's going to be incredibly difficult for them to find that 20, 21-year-old score. I mean, look what's happening in Dallas right now.
Yep.
Like, don't you wish, if you were a Predators fan, that you had Wyatt Johnson right now? Wyatt Johnson is a big game player. He's 20 years old. He led the Stars in scoring in the first round. He scores huge goals. Like, they need a player like that, but they haven't been able to find it, and I'm not sure if or how they're going to do it. But, you know, that's been the question about this franchise for 25 years.
Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate so much you take time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Adam Vingan, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. Willie Donick will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, you haven't played in years. Why can't I be quarterback, huh?
You're right. Let's see what you got. Hit me. I'm open.
Hi, guys. Hi.
That's why. Now sit down and shut up.
Who are we going to crush?
The gods.
Who are we going to kill?
The gods.
Who are we going to kiss?
The gods.
Got you.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Joseph, it's all you. Go ahead.
Quick rant that we've already mentioned before. That movie's not very good. Just not. It's not very good. The original is much better.
Yeah.
That's fine. I pretty much can tolerate just about any Adam Sandler movie. Like, even like, what was it? Don't Mess with the Zohan. Like, I even watched that freaking movie.
I went to the theater to watch that.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that was something.
He's got some gems. But let me give a quick suggestion on what I believe is one of the greatest Adam Sandler movies. And a lot of people haven't watched. It's a Netflix movie. The Week Of.
Haven't
heard
seen
this
it.
One? You seen it? It's about Sandler and his... he's the father of the bride. It's hilarious.
It's so funny.
Chris Rock is the father of the groom. It's and there's a lot. It's a very, very underrated movie. Check out The Week Of.
Very awkward at times.
Yeah, I mean, but hilariously so. Speaking of awkward at times, what a great segue. So I have not seen the whole thing, but I have to address the Tom Brady roast a little bit. There's some funny stuff out of there, let me tell you. I mean, Bill Belichick saying, Gronk, I've seen you on TV. Please stop doing your job.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good. First of all, it's 3 hours long. Are you kidding
me? Seems a little excessive.
It's a little excessive. Is it Nikki Glaser? she was ripped. She had some, wow. She had some stuff. But she was ripping on Brady for, like, crypto, and she's like, even Gronk was like, me no, this not real money. That's some good stuff. But my favorite part, and again, I haven't watched the whole thing. I guess at some point I will. That's a lot of time to commit, man.
Yeah.
That's a big investment. I guess I might just be like the kids these days and just look at TikTok and take out the best 10 seconds or something. But here's an interesting comment from the roast.
Remember Tom Brady. Deflategate? The NFL spent $20 million and found that it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million and I would just told you I f***ing did it.
So can we all agree he's a cheater now?
Are you guys actually taking those comments seriously at a comedic roast?
So you think that, because that's exactly where I was going, because I've seen a lot of debate on this. So you think that he said that in total jest?
Yeah, I do. I think he's saying, if you would have given me $20 million, I'd have told you anything you wanted me to tell you.
Yeah, you could look at it that way. Or maybe he's also admitting it, because everybody knows who actually looks into the details of that situation, that he freaking cheated.
Well, look, I have no doubt. Based on the reporting around it, he probably deflated the footballs. Like, I believe that. But I think anybody taking that as like an admission for him is not realizing where he was when he said this.
I know where he was, and I take it as an admission. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Brady's been knocked down from the 50th greatest quarterback of all time to number 100 on Rex Rhodes' list now.
Not, see, that's the thing. Not at all. Look, people do these things. I said all along that from the start, just admit.
So you actually believe that was him getting up there on the stage and admitting that he was deflating football?
I absolutely think that he used this as a way to jokingly, but still also, yes, admit it. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, he knows it. He knows, everybody knows. Anybody who gives a crap, other than Patriots fans who are like, that's a conspiracy. I mean, other than, or whatever, like his Aunt Gladys, who thinks Tommy never could have cheated, everybody else knows that it's true, that it actually happened.
Well, I agree.
That's why he destroyed his phone. So, yeah, I think that he sort of, I think that he maybe regrets going through that whole thing. That's what I've said all along, like, if you just, like, take responsibility for it and say, yeah, I was trying to get the balls a little bit easier to grip in the cold, and then it becomes way less of a big deal. So I think this was his way. Yes, it's a roast. So you could always hide behind that. Yeah, he just pay me $20 million. I'll tell you whatever you want. But I also think he used it to sort of admit it. And I appreciate it, Tom. Okay. Thank you. You're a cheater.
Maybe we should do more roasts. He could come out with other things that he'd like to admit to.
Not three-hour roasts. Also, I will say, too, because I like these roasts, and like Jeffrey Ross starts busting out
the craft stuff.
The craft massage, and then apparently Brady gets all angry about it. Was that real? Was Brady really?
I don't know.
Was Brady really telling him to stop?
He did get up and tell him to not do that again.
Like, how could you? You sign up for a roast, and you're going to have all these comedians and Jeffrey Ross, that like everything. But let me just say, I do think that, like, Aaron Hernandez jokes in this thing are that's not okay, man.
I mean,
that's not okay. I'm sorry.
I thought they went a little overboard with the Giselle stuff too, but it's just me.
Yeah, the Nikki Glaser with the jiu-jitsu training stuff. Yeah. I mean, just make sure your kids don't watch this ever, Tom. Other than that, you're good,
you're in
man.
Really good shape.
But yeah, do we need a 3-hour roast? I don't think so. I mean, I think that could be contained in 2 hours of broadcast. How is Vrabel not invited to this?
That's a great
question.
You're
telling me that Vrabel couldn't have spun out some?
I mean, I feel like that would have been an essential piece. That they just, is that an oversight? Did Vrabel turn him down? Like, I feel like Vrabel would not have turned him down for that. He's not doing anything. He can go to the roast.
That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like we keep thinking Vrabel should be doing all these different jobs, and then no one ever asks him to do them.
He never does any of them.
Don't do dumb.
Can I say, real quickly, before we move on to Willie Donnett coming, so far, in an appearance on the Pat McAfee show on the draft and now on this roast thing, like, Bill Belichick is actually pretty likable when he's not coaching a football team in a media press conference.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
It is. It's wild, isn't it?
It's pretty wild.
Which
it's
makes me wonder, like,
what happened to you?
Well, and, like, why do you hate media so much that you decided to just do decades of that when you're actually a funny, engaging guy?
Going to Cincinnati.
Thanks, Bill. I did, like, Gronk was like, hey, man. And then he's like, hey, Coach Belichick, how are you? Hey, good to see you. It's pretty funny.
615-737-1025.
Me, no, not real money. Mongo, pawn in Game of Life.
I had no clue that was happening the other night, and then I saw Jared, like, live tweeting it. I was like, Jared,
oh, God.
What are we doing?
Well, another reason I'm glad I muted him.
Right. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Willie Donick for the next hour. We're going to get into everything Nashville Predators with him, the plan for the offseason, where this team goes from here. We'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.